We here at Konami have an unbelievably long and treasured history of gaming IPs. As a matter of fact, we own more than any one living being can recall. Did you know we own Mylon's secret castle? No shit. Today on Armchair Devs, we decided to throw you f***ers a bone and let you pitch to me an IP based on one of 80 games I kind of care about. This is Armchair Devs, Konami Sweepstakes. Hello and welcome to Armchair Devs. I'm your host, Dan Konami Man Video Games. I am joined by four guests who will pitch their game to me based on them getting access to a list of 80 Konami IPs that we care about, but not that much. We have Bob Video Games.
Hey, everybody.
From Gigaboots. We have KZ from KZExcellent.com.
Hi, I won $18,000.
We have Mr. Feel from Mr. Feel's Wild Ride.
That'll let me buy one NFT.
And Dr. Agro from Dr. Agro.
I'm excited for this opportunity to do work for free, for the possibility of getting underpaid to do more work.
Glad to hear it. The list of games is too long to go over here orally, so no shit. Just check out the description field. They're all there unless YouTube has a limit.
We were allowed like over a week to bob for apples and fucking make something.
No shit. Mylon's Secret Castle is on that list. It's just its Japanese name.
Of course.
I was delighted. I'm like, oh yeah, they own Hudson. We own Hudson Soft. So as I mentioned before, we have a list of 80 games that they can make a pitch for a game that is related to the IP of these 80 games. It's far fewer IPs when you don't just break it out into individual entries in a franchise. If they successfully win, they can get a grand prize of up to $18,000. And we will fund the game up to $271,000, at which point we will pretend we don't know them and stop answering their calls.
Oh, no.
I'm very excited for today. So much IP diversity, so many classics coming back. I'm very excited for the new image, the new vision of what Konami can do. So let's get started with these elevator pitches. We're going to start with KZ. KZ, go ahead and give me your 30-second elevator pitch.
For my submission in the Konami Make a Video Game and Become Marginally Richer sweepstakes, I bring a successor to the iconic 1987 FDS game, I Senshi Nicole, or Love Warrior Nicole. In this new take, you jump into the world of HD retro graphics as you create your own Love Warrior fighting across the galaxy to save it from King Gyumao. Featuring various powers, blaster gameplay, and alligators, I call it The Love Warrior Is You.
And time. Thank you very much for The Love Warrior Is You.
Now people that didn't go in the description truly understand what we had to work with.
I'm the Love Warrior? Well, that's very exciting. Very excited for the HD retro graphics and create a warrior system.
Mm-hmm.
We will now move on to Mr. Feel. Mr. Feel, you have 30 seconds to sell me on your game. Start whenever you're ready.
Enjoy a fresh take on a classic Konami IP in Poppin' Twinbee Rainbow Bell Reboot. Jump, shoot, and fly across different action stages in this reimagining of the Twinbee franchise. Dr. Cinnamon, Dr. Warman, and Dr. Mardok have been kidnapped by the evil supercomputer King Spice. Pilot Twinbee, Winbee, or Gwynbee against the computer and his army of evil robots and Zacobees and save Wonderland.
Zacobees? What? Spice?
In time. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Feel, for your pitch.
Twinbee is a hell of a franchise.
Yeah, it is.
I believe it now that you said that many words.
Can I get your full title again? Poppin' Twinbee Rainbow...
Rainbow Bell Reboot.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Excited to jump, shoot, and fly as Twinbee, Winbee, or Gwynbee?
Stop saying that.
Can I get the spelling on Gwynbee just to make sure I'm not fucking this up on my side?
It's G-W-I-N-B.
Okay, just making absolutely sure I have that down. We now move on to Bob. Bob, you have 30 seconds from the moment you start talking.
The Lord of Edo has been swindled by the robotic princess of the moon, Kaguya. Now Goemon and his friends must travel the countryside to rebuild Edo and get to the Lord his refund. In Mystical Ninja Goemon, The Great Journey, or in Japanese, Gambare Goemon, Tsuki no Yanushi ga Shiharu, which means, let's go, Goemon! The moon landlord will pay.
And time. Can I get the Japanese title?
Gambare Goemon, Tsuki no Yanushi ga.
What moment? Okay, Tsuki no
Yanushi.
Yanushi. Okay.
Ga. Shi Haru.
Thank you. Thank you. Can I get the name of the robotic princess on the moon?
Kaguya.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. That leaves us with Dr. Agro's elevator pitch. Dr. Agro, feel free to start talking for 30 seconds for free whenever you're ready.
Behold, the beloved puzzle shooter classic reborn in Quarth Dimension Drop. Take part in an all-new sensory experience of mechanically dense, feature-rich puzzle action as you join fans old and new in the quest to unlock the complex secrets behind the SDS system, corner the market in our revolutionary transconomy, or attempt to conquer the leaderboards in classic, endless, and force multiplier modes. In Quarth Dimension Drop, the only limit is your imagination, or physics, whichever comes first.
And time. I'm going to ask a very serious question. Quarth was on that list?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was surprised.
I'm shocked no one picked the same thing as someone else.
I'm pretty happy.
And yet no one chose Mylon's Secret Castle.
No shit.
Weird. Everybody knows and loves My Lost Secret Castle, so this is quite the surprise.
It seemed like something you would know, so I didn't pick it, because then you would ask questions about it.
Casey's looking at my list of games. Like, he's just looking at my NES shelf, and he's just like, it's My Lost Secret, god damn it.
I should have looked. That would have really sealed the deal.
Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to ask each contestant two questions. One question at a time, going in a rotating order, so that way I can learn more about their pitches. Really dig into what made their elevator pitch interesting. We're going to start with Dr. Agro. Dr. Agro.
Sup?
I believe you described one of the modes of your game as forced multiplayer mode.
No, sorry. Force multiplier.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Okay.
That changes everything.
That actually does, yes. Would you like to describe force multiplier mode and what that means mechanically to make it diverge from the rest of this?
Well, instead of classic, where you basically go stage by stage, and endless, where you keep going along stages in order as long as you can, in Force Multiplier, you are limited to a single map in which you are trying to refill your probe supply by constantly stacking your score multiplier with efficient pathing, finding novel solutions to puzzles, and finding hidden gravity wells, which will restore your probe supply.
Okay, very, very interesting. Not as compelling as the very, very genuine mode, forced multiplayer.
Multiplayer.
I thought this was some sort of ethical stance against puzzle games with multiplayer modes.
I have made the Dark Souls of puzzle shooters.
Mr. Feel.
Yes.
There seem to be a lot of spices in your games. In your game.
Yes.
I'm going to go through a list of spices, and you let me know if there's any characters or enemies based on that.
Okay.
Allspice.
No.
Mixed spice.
No.
Old spice.
No.
Scary spice.
No.
The Spice Boys from the Garlic Jr. arc.
I'll allow this question.
No, and I don't, and there's nobody with any of their names either, because I don't.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. There's Mint. We have Mint.
Yeah.
Okay, no further questions for now, thank you. Bob.
What's up?
Mystical Ninja Goemon, The Great Journey, The Moon Landlord Will Pay.
Yes.
I have that title in English, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is Ibisumaru in it?
Yeah, of course.
How funny is he?
I mean, he's only as funny as normal, which isn't very funny.
Oh, okay, that's good. I thought we might reinvent the character now, but thank you for assuaging my concerns that we would have to land some sort of writing with Ibisumaru.
Of course not.
Okay, Ibisumaru, just as funny as normal, not at all.
But sometimes he goes, honey.
Yeah, he still does that upside down crawl. That's hilarious.
Oh, that is hilarious. Upside down crawl still in. I will ask one follow up. It is relevant to how funny he is.
Okay.
2D or 3D?
2D.
Okay. Okay. That crawl was funnier in 3D.
Look, we got to save money here.
Yeah, understandable, actually. KZ.
Yes.
You said you have HD retro graphics.
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is HD and 10 is retro, where would you say your graphics land exactly?
This is a complicated question.
It is.
Because when I think about it, HD and retro,
mm-hmm.
I would say it's a 10 on retro and a 10 on HD because it looks like retro graphics. I'm talking like NES, like halfway to SNES type of thing, but it's in 1080p and widescreen.
Oh, okay.
So it's you know, it's retro graphics, but wide.
Oh, okay. Retro graphics, but wide. Retro graphics, but wide. Would you say Nicole is wide, or?
She's probably wide, but since this is like a reboot where you make your own character, you can make yourself wide.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, it all depends on you creating your character for that particular playthrough.
You can be as wide as you want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's cool. That's going to be a really good marketing blurb, so that way we can advertise what's novel about this one.
Yeah, this game supports body positivity.
That's fantastic. See, we want a marketing blurb that gets Americans interested, because quite frankly, after Getsu Fumiden, we realized that's a thing we should think about.
Yeah, maybe at all.
Mr. Feel.
Yes.
What about your game would you say differentiates it from the rest of the TwinBee series? And is this a continuation of a, you know, vaguely their plot from prior games?
This is what is called a quote-unquote soft reboot, wherein we use a bunch of shit from the franchise, and we don't specifically say what it is and isn't related to. We just use things. It has 2D side-scrolling levels, like Rainbow Bell Adventure on the SNES, but it also has shooter levels like all the other games. It has 3D graphics, so we can save money by just using the same models for both.
Ah, that's very nice. 3D graphics, 2D gameplay, vertical and schmideways. Got it. Are you okay with the marketing department calling this schmideways?
Yes.
Okay, that's the answer I want to hear most of the time. Yes, I'm an executive.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Agro.
Holla, holla. Sir.
How do you intend to bring the compelling gameplay in a fresh and addictive new way to a whole new generation of gamers? How are you going to make people fall in love with Quarth?
Well, I mean, Quarth originally, while it was charming and had a certain elegance to its design aesthetic, it did lack somewhat in the depths of its gameplay. So we have overhauled that system somewhat. by pulling back from the abstract nature of the puzzle gaming and actually putting it into a more concrete sci-fi setting, in which you are a pilot hired by the Bering Foundation to investigate the sudden appearance of several alien structures that have created gravity anomalies in the galaxy and thrown off interstellar shipping and transit. So what you're basically doing, instead of shooting squares at incomplete squares to make bigger squares to make them go away, you are actually mapping interstellar travel by firing spheroid probes into meticulously calculated gravity anomaly tunnels to try and map out and calculate optimal routes in our physics-based standard distribution engine to go from a starting position through an unknown series of mathematically complex stellar events to a set destination.
I see. Okay. That'll get people in. Hopefully we can get some sort of low budget narration to overlay over the trailer to help convey all of this. I think that'll make people go, wait, this is a puzzle game with a story, and that might actually hook them. I think that's really cool. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Bob.
Ooh, okay. Yes.
You get the one softball.
Okay.
Describe your gameplay.
It's actually a combination of a town builder where you get to build your own city of the new Edo that you're constructing. And you go on missions that are like pre-constructed levels that are actually well made, like regular platforming levels in a Goemon game.
Mm-hmm.
As well as more generic levels that are like auto-generated. That you go to for the sake of building or getting more material. So the whole loop is, okay, you get to select your destination for where you're going to search for parts of your city. Then on the way there, you might have to defend the city or meet a person. And then when you get to the actual location, you have to either fight a mini boss, do a full stage, or do a simple roguelike level to collect the item there. And then you can use that in your city to build more onto it.
Okay, that's very neat. I didn't think I would be the one building new Edo, so that's an interesting new twist on Goemon, for sure. Thank you for your answer.
No problem.
KZ.
Yes.
Have you ever played Guardian Legend?
No.
Okay, just checking. about your game. What is the general plot of your game? What is your goal as the creator warrior in it?
All right, so we've got King Yumao, that means cow demon, is trying to take over the galaxy, and it's up to you to stop them as you are a intern for a legendary scientist, and you're going across the galaxy to get more powerful and get pieces of a brand new gadget that you can use to combat this villainous threat.
Let's see, going across the galaxy to become more powerful and get pieces of a gadget. This reminds me of a Dragon Ball Z movie, Plan to Eradicate the Saiyans. Do you recall that?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Most really bad media leaves my head forever.
Oh, okay. What a random thing to bring up at this exact point. A quick follow-up question.
Sure.
Keeping it simple. Are there any characters you're going to meet on your way that play into the plot? I'm not talking generic enemies. I mean, like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, occasionally there will be characters that show up depending on, like, how you go about going through the main game, through its choices. Like, certain enemies will show up, and then they may show up again later as, like, mini-bosses. And, like, depending on how you played, you could have, like, different relationships or, like, a rapport with them. In a way, so
I see.
Yeah, there will be a couple of characters like that. It's not super detailed because that would cost a lot of money.
Yeah,
but enough to where there's some flavor.
Would you say your creative warrior is ghost powered?
If you want it to be,
okay. That's what. Once again, I like to hear that. I like to hear yes and other versions of yes.
might be ghost powered. Depends on how much I drink.
Okay. And with the first round of two questions each out of the way, we move on to round two. Audience, I have asked them to prepare a prompt, an art prompt. They must fabricate, through any means they deem necessary, a sample screenshot of how their game will look. In a best case scenario, they get something that far exceeds what their game will actually look like Mighty No. 9. But I'll take anything at this point to just get a visual idea of the gameplay. So we're going to go ahead and start with Bob. Bob, go ahead and show me your sample screenshot. I'm very, very curious.
All right, here we go. In this, you can see you got your town you can construct here.
Uh-huh.
You have a little arrow. You can. We use 2D sprites, and then the backgrounds are going to be made in Unreal in 3D.
Oh, okay. I thought this was an aesthetic choice we were going for here. Look, thank you for clarifying. I appreciate it.
There will be a painted style, like cell shading, going on to try and hide the 3D graphics a little bit. But you know, you don't see the UI here. What? Let me see. I think I zoomed in this one too much.
Okay. Let's get that one moment.
What?
Are you playing on Impact?
Yes, Impact carries around what remains of Edo.
What do you mean? Well, that explains defending your city as you travel, because when I wrote that note down, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense.
Why are balls 3D balls involved?
Because it's Impact.
That's how Impact looks, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Yeah. And we need to raise his morale, though. Or is that like a morale button you would mash?
Are you in the Sahara?
That's a morale meter that you have to maintain by making sure everyone's well fed.
Okay.
And yes, this is what's left of Japan after Kagi has bought all the property.
Oh, that's really unfortunate.
Oh my God.
Who knew Goemon would be a hero to a whole new generation? Well, thank you, Bob, for your sample screenshots. We will move on to KZ. KZ, let me see your game in screenshot format. The Love Warrior is you.
Sure, let me figure out how to do that. Hey, there it is. All right, so here's a picture of some moment-to-moment gameplay.
Hmm.
All right, so as you can see here, we're in this... Rocky Cavernous, this specifically is one of those, is a combat room. You fell through a hole, mm-hmm. and your goal is to take down these alligators. Or, if you're good, you could probably dodge past them and hit that portal immediately to head on to the next area. We got your HP,
mm-hmm.
you got your TP, that you can use for your various different, like, gun mods and stuff to deal with different enemies. And
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to do anything really detailed in the player, because, of course, it's a create a character. It could be whatever mm-hmm. you wish here.
I see. Let me explain for people who are new to this franchise. You see, for people who are not as experienced, this series is just Guardian Legend, but so you keep falling down in a hole like it's E.T. and you have to battle your way out.
What?
Yes, but I've massaged some different gameplay in there to not be exactly like that.
Yeah.
But to at least take the core, like, gameplay and look, recreating stuff like the iconic stone walls.
I see that.
Mm-hmm.
I assume everyone's played Guardian Legend. I will take no questions on that. quick question, KZ.
Sure.
Does your game have a calendar system, like a day of the week system?
No.
Okay. So it just seems to take place on Friday the whole time?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for the image. I never imagined this franchise being presented in such stunning high definition.
Mm-hmm.
Will there actually be, like, real-looking alligators like this? That's impressive.
Yes, I wanted the enemies to be 16-bit as opposed to 8-esque bit.
Yeah, that looks like Super NES graphics. I've never played one, but...
Yes, and of course it takes place on Friday. It is, in fact, Flat Fuck Friday.
God damn it.
Dr. Agro, I would love to see your gameplay image of Quartz Dimension Drop.
Okay. Let's see here. Just let me grab this thing. Now, I should preface this by saying that we haven't exactly tuned in on these graphics as much as I might have liked. So we're actually, what I'm about to show you is both a physical mock-up of a given stage, as well as a device we're using to fine-tune some of our more complex and randomized elements in our mathematics.
I gotta ask, are you using Unreal Engine 4 or 5? This looks really realistic.
We are using Unreal 4. We're hoping to transition once 5 becomes more readily available.
Okay.
As a base, but we are having to do a lot of, as I said, the more complex mathematical work in our own sort of middleware. Here you can see the SDS system at work, the standard distribution stanchions that have appeared in our galaxy, disrupting interstellar trade.
That
you're going to have to navigate your spherical probes around in order to find optimal pathing toward particular destinations.
A quick question, because oddly enough, this image of gameplay has just brought this question to mind. How much does it cost for this game?
Being that it is a smaller scale title, we don't want to have a large barrier to entry because we're trying to attract a newer player base. And we want an active community, because there's a lot of community-driven cooperative meta involved here. So we're hoping to actually start it out in like the $20 range. But I mean, of course, that's as a designer, that's really not my place. So I would obviously leave that up to the infinite wisdom of the executive branch of the company.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I see your game having a strong cross-generational appeal. Very excited to see how this one shakes out. We're going to move on to Mr. Feel now. Mr. Feel, show me the gameplay.
Well, you see, the original Rainbow Bell Adventures on the SNES had the characters have relatively, you know, jokey weapons, like a squeaky hammer, you know, like Amy Rose almost.
Yeah.
We're going for like a little bit older audience, like we're shooting for like maybe a way forward type thing. So their weapon is a little bit different.
Okay. Yeah, that's a little different.
We made the choice to not have a UI because the first hit you just lose your bells, and the second hit you just die. So you can focus on the you see, we're really focusing on presentation because we don't have a lot of money for anything else.
Your image of gameplay here has brought to mind so many questions. I'm going to ask them real quick. Just when you do the Schmidways level, are you walking on foot and shooting people with a gun?
Oh, yes, because it's a platformer level.
Okay.
Rainbow Bell Adventure on SNES.
Okay, just making sure that I can just animate this via flash animation in my mind right now and get a really good idea of the gameplay and how it looks.
Really good tweening.
Uses 3D models.
More like
this is just a proof of concept.
Yes. I'm trying to imagine it using what I have here. It's really strong. Really strong.
And of course you have stuff from the SNES game, like the Sparkster-esque rocket charge, and
nice.
You can pick up weapons that aren't cartoonishly realistic guns.
I was gonna ask, do you you have Ragdoll?
Yes.
This is great. Let me write that in one moment.
In fact, if you get really close and shoot a Zako B in the face, it just flies across the screen, bounces off the screen boundary, and flops onto the ground.
I don't know who wouldn't want that. I think they're missing the spirit of Twin B. Well, thank you all very much for your gameplay demonstrations via still image. I've got a lot to process. And while I process that, you all get to ask each other questions. You temporarily become the judge. So, each of you takes a turn, asking your opponents one question each. We will go ahead and start with Dr. Agro.
Well, I think I'm going to begin at the end here. Mr. Feel.
Yes.
You've got a 3D modeled sideways scrolling platforming shooter.
Schmideways.
Once again, I'll leave that sort of vocabulary choice up to the infinite wisdom of the executive branch. What I'm wondering is with your gun, are we looking at like 3D modeling the bullets that come out of them? Is it going to be physics based? Are they going to be hit scan? How are we going to handle that?
Well, you see, it just makes like a line from the barrel across the screen to indicate where your bullet traveled. And if it hits an enemy, it makes a sound like the world ended, and then they fly across the screen.
Now, I gotta ask, you're talking about the cosmic world ending or the sound of the world abruptly ending?
It sounds like a really loud glass shattering combined with a bomb.
Okay, that's thank you.
Follow-up question. Are the nightmares a feature or
we consider that an important part of the series aesthetic.
Thank you very much, Mr. Field. Casey, excellent.
Hello.
You have made much of your customizable character feature in this game.
Yes.
Always an attractive thing to put in a box, raises player engagement. Mm. What I'm wondering in that vein is once I've put all this work into creating my own Love Warrior, will I in fact be able to in any way own that character as an NFT?
I'm glad you asked, Dr. Agro. We have many systems with the create a character. You create it, and you can connect to this character online. This allows you to, before you start your playthrough, maybe you use yourself, or maybe you use someone else's character. Because anyone who is playing in this online environment can buy someone else's character in NFT form, and then you can own that character. That will allow you certain boosts. Maybe it's maybe the character is much more suited for things. They start with special bonuses, that type of thing. But yes.
So since it's an NFT, wouldn't that mean the person who made it can't use it anymore?
Yes. Well, once the payment has gone through, the person goes, okay, make another character.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Just check. So you're saying that a rich person could robber baron our entire community?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so they're not like, if I make a character, they aren't buying the NFT of that character from me, they're buying that NFT from you.
Yeah, they're directly buying it from Konami.
Fantastic.
So
the nightmares just keep
yes,
coming.
Yes, the players make the characters, they buy them from Konami. Konami makes the money, and then those people make characters again in what can possibly be an endless loop of a game that costs $100 to make and will make $5 billion.
Thank you, Casey. Excellent.
No problem.
Bob, video games.
What's up?
In your heftily titled game, Mystical Ninja Goemon Dark Cloud Mortal Engines.
No one's heard of one of those things.
I've heard or two of them, actually.
You have a rather beautiful fantasy world set up here that I have already bought into and am mentally engaging with, to the point that I'm willing to be completely fine with a robot princess from the moon buying all of Japan. I'm totally fine with there being part of a continent on a giant robot's head. This is all really cool. Bob?
What's up?
How the fuck do those roller skates work on sand?
Obviously, you've never seen Impact. He makes them work anywhere.
Impact is very powerful.
Yeah.
I feel that though I have gained nothing in wisdom, I have been entirely rebuffed and wish to apologize for ever questioning that. Thank you, Bob Video Games.
No problem.
That's it for me.
We're going to move on to Bob. Bob, feel free to question your competitors.
KZ?
Hello.
Since there's so much emphasis on these NFTs, it sounded like your create character was going to be an 8-bit thing. How many different variations can you have? Like, how many different parts of it can you change?
You can change many parts. You start from top to bottom. You got your hair. You could have, there's multiple different hairstyles. There are different types of hats that you could wear. You could change your face up, maybe have facial hair, a mask, a really bad like mustache type of thing.
Wait, so you can see the face on this 8-bit character? Is it, do we have a big portrait graphic we get to work with as well as the small one you play is?
Yeah, you do in fact have a portrait that you can also mess with as well, and this 8-bit kind of look is, I guess, a bit more reminiscent of something you know those Guilty Gear lobbies where you can edit your character? It's got a lot of that vibe to it, where there's just enough detail for it's yes, that line definitely is a mustache.
Okay.
So you have that, shirts, armor, maybe you want the one shoulder pad because all cool characters have one shoulder pad, all that.
All right. I see. Mm-hmm. Dr. Agro?
Yes, sir.
I was going to ask you to explain some of the finer details of your mathematic equations, but after seeing your picture, I don't think that's going to be necessary anymore. Will we be able to install this new course in some sort of large arcade-like location that's only course-based?
We are hoping. We have a plan in place that we can get at launch physical installations as an attraction, because as I said, the real meat of this game is the community-driven cooperative meta. So when it's really on fire is when you've got multiple players playing it separate instances together, so they can compare notes, see what strategies are working. This also would allow them to take place of our in-game transconomy, which includes both in-game items and purchasable physical rewards. So yes, having a live installed event like that would be very much something we're looking forward to.
Great. Excited for some sort of parlor. Mr. Feel.
Yes.
You said you're going to have a lot of money in presentation. Will there be a full 3D story that unfolds? Is it going to be a David Cage game?
No, because we have $271,000. By presentation, I mean we will be having high quality drawn illustrated backgrounds for the levels to be in front of, be behind. We will have high quality music produced by Jake Kaufman. We will have an animated intro for the game, and the story will be conveyed through visual novel style sprites.
Okay. Sounds great.
Our hope is that our five will be bolstered up by these presentation choices that the indie market likes.
I like the cut of your jib.
And that's all for me.
Okay. Well, then we will move on to KZ. KZ, question your opponents.
Bob.
What's up?
I want you to describe to me the all of the character development we're going to get for Goemon.
Goemon himself is already the ideal hero. He doesn't have to go through some sort of character arc. He just is there to fix the problem. Someone has ruined Edo, as usual.
Okay. So he's like that static character that builds everyone else up.
Yes,
through his own actions.
He's much like the Goku.
Ah, very much. Yeah. Very good.
He's just too good. I'm sorry. He can't develop any higher.
That's true. When you peak, you peak. I understand this now. Someone who's never played Goemon before, you've really gotten me into what this is.
He does eventually get his seashell horn. And that's good.
And that's what, and that's when the song starts, right?
Yes, okay, of course.
That's good.
What's the sound song sound like? Can you like hum it?
Yeah, I would do it no justice.
Fair enough. Feel?
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck Twinbee is at all. Are there bosses in this? Could you describe a couple of them, like things they do?
Okay, well, in this game, Dr. Warman's granddaughter, Madoka, who is a regular character in the series, has been kidnapped. And she's been brainwashed and made the pilot of Baron B, who is like the Virgil of the series, sort of. He's a mech of similar design to Twin B, Win B, and Gwyn B. Mm-hmm. So she's piloting Baron B, and she is one of the bosses that you fight several times through the game. You also fight King Spice, who is a big supercomputer, and it will be the fight will be very similar to the Nova Corps in Milky Way Wishes and Kirby Superstar.
Good choice.
We're still trying to work out whether or not King Spice will make the three face like Nova does.
This is incredibly important.
Dr. Agro.
Yep.
Now, this is a puzzle game.
Mm-hmm.
This game is puzzling.
Yes, you're getting a score in some mode of this, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so when I see that, I think of like those big people that try to get the highest score they can in like a Tetris. Mm-hmm. And then I think of the competitive Tetris. Is there anything in place where we could do some sort of competitive league with this where two people, it doesn't even have to be like versus where it's like, oh, you're sending garbage over there. It's just two people going at the same time on this, on a, like a max difficulty. Can we esports this in any way?
Are you asking if there is, in fact, forced multiplayer?
Yes, I'm asking if there's potential for a forced multiplayer.
Well, while as a video game company, we don't have legal recourse to conscription, as I mentioned, there are leaderboards, online leaderboards for both for the classic, endless, and force multiplier modes. in addition to which... you see, as you play each of those modes, you are rewarded with research credits, which you can redeem at the Bering Foundation Transconomy resource market. You can also turn those in what we're calling the Matter Replicator, which is basically where you get branded merchandise, stickers, posters, rice cookers, t-shirts, that kind of thing. But you receive them in packets. I'm sorry, this is a little complicated. It becomes intuitive. You receive your research credits in a packet from a single session. If you get a large enough packet, you can turn that in the Matter Replicator for metals of various degree. You know, we have copper, silver, gold, and platinum. So yes, we do have competitive modes both for score and for what are basically self-serve trophies.
Self-improvement's important.
Mm-hmm. So these packets that you're receiving from your, like, play session here, mm-hmm. How would you say they're shaped? Would you say they're, like, a circle or, like, a rectangle with a hump taken out of the left and right middle chunk, or...?
It's, a pixelated envelope.
Ah.
Is the icon we're using right now.
Okay, I was wondering if it'd be, like, ticket-like in some way.
Nope, that wouldn't make sense within the lore of the game, as tickets in that shape went extinct in 2047.
Okay, well, I like when the lore is like consistent and you don't have anything that doesn't really make sense within the world. So big respect for that. I'm really happy for you, and more for me that I don't have to do this anymore.
Man, I wish I got second set of questions. I have some of the burning questions that need to be answered.
I'm sorry, Bob. Your first question was so illuminating. I will not allow you a second question. We move on now to Mr. Feel. Mr. Feel, start blasting.
KZ?
Hey, how you doing?
Your main character is minted as an NFT after character creation, right?
Yes.
Does your game include the entire Ethereum blockchain?
Yes.
Okay.
Konami would become, you know, would be, you know, supporting of that.
Bold choice for your file size to be 995 gigabytes.
it's okay. This game is streamed. I hope you got some good information out of that question.
Shit, we're doing the blockchain and streaming it?
Konami exclusive? Is the future of video games.
God, we're going to have to be a Stadia exclusive. Steam won't allow us on there.
The block cloud.
Hey, Microsoft. You got something for Game Pass and xCloud.
It's called a fucking game.
Bob.
Yeah.
How it over the course of your game, how many landlords will I kill?
Yes.
Currently, we only have planned 4 landlords, but with our lease structure being based on early access, we're going to get in as many as we can.
Okay, aggro.
Yes, sir.
I'm scared, so just tell me what sort of music your game has.
Oh, we're actually going with the original Quarth soundtracks from both the NES release and the Game Boy release. I encourage you, if you have not heard the Game Boy soundtrack to Quarth, to go listen to it. It fucking slaps.
I'm just going to ask real quick. I know you want to use those soundtracks, and reusing those soundtracks gives us room, right? Budget-wise?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is there any way we can maybe get something a little bit more moody, atmospheric, ambient, like some sort of mall soft to play in the background as the primary soundtrack? I feel like that would really fit this game you're pitching.
Since I don't know what that is and feel like arguing against it might lead to me learning what that is, I'm going to go with yes, sir.
Okay, mall soft is a go. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. That's it.
Okay.
I'm going to sleep now.
Well, I feel like we all learned a lie here. Well, with that out of the way, we move on to the next round. I'm going to get each of you to tell me one thing about your game that you haven't had the opportunity to talk about. Maybe it's just something that you feel like is a missing piece of what we've already discovered. Maybe this is the thing you hold most dear. We will find out. We're going to go ahead and start with Mr. Field. Mr. Field, tell me one thing about your game you haven't had the opportunity to talk about yet or want to go into more detail about.
So we have unlockable characters.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is Baron B being piloted by Madoka, which you get after you beat them in the last boss fight they're in the game. The second one you get after beating the game is Kid Alucard.
Ooh.
And he just looks pretty much exactly like he does in the NES game, and he even flies. He sprouts little bat wings and flies during the flying levels.
That's Ooh. Fantastic.
And when he picks up a bell, he just eats it, and we have a crunch sound that plays.
Splendid. We're going to move on now to KZ. KZ, tell me one thing about your game that you haven't had any opportunity to talk about yet, or dig in deeper on something you find fascinating.
Earlier, you asked me a question about characters that we would encounter in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I said that it could change depending on things is because the format of the game, of progressing through it, is similar to Star Fox 64, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like you're trying to get to the end of the galaxy to fight Gyumao at the end.
Mm.
So you'll start on your first level, and there will be multiple ways to solve the level, like secret paths, or maybe you did the boss really quickly, so something special will happen. This will lead to you better players or more crafty players going down a different, more harder route. And then it makes it so each playthrough will be different with different locations. Characters can change as a result. And the gadgets pieces you'll pick up will be different, leading to like a different ending in a way.
Cool. Dr. Aggro.
Well, one thing I wanted to bring to light was our well-developed secondary market. When you put your research credits through the matter replicator, specifically to redeem for medals indicating high score attainment, those medals are actually a limited run item. They are a collectible.
Ooh.
So trading them back and forth, as each one has a code on it that is redeemable in-game for more research credits. So you can trade them back and forth as the in-game value fluctuates in a sealed economy amongst players. However, if at any time, you know, because we understand that life gets in the way sometimes, if you need to step away from the game for a while and you wish to not let those go to waste and serve back into the community, you can come to any registered Quarth Dimension drop booth locally and cash out those medals for an equivalent amount of local specie.
Thank you. Hey, Bob.
Hey.
Tell me one thing about your game you haven't had the opportunity to talk about yet.
I want to talk more about the encounters you can have other than combat in the world as you explore it. So you can run into guardian spirits who can protect your city. You can take in as many of them as you've built temples for, and these give you buffs for the whole game. You can replace them with old or new spirits when you run into new ones. You can also run into other people who've been evicted by Kaguya. Let them come into your city. You can also find pieces of their cities that have been destroyed. So you end up with very like hodgepodge looking new Edo that's made of lots of different types of cities. And yeah, those are the main ones. Really wanted to get that out there. Let you know that you're not just going to be dealing with ancient Japan. You're also be finding Western castles, Persian cities, modern day cities. Because Goemon's world is very strange.
That is true. Goemon's world is very diverse.
Yes.
It's not just across cultures, it's across time.
Exactly. You can also get an AK-47 for Yai.
Oh, that's great. Also an AK-47. thank you, Bob. Well, with all that out of the way, there's only one thing to do before I deliberate. I need to get your final statements. Each of you will have 15 seconds to make the pitch for why your game should win over your opponents. Let me know what the strength of yours is, why it's infallible in comparison, or maybe just tear down your opponents. It's up to you to decide based on your pitch, your pitch's needs, your approach. We're going to go ahead and go to KZ.
What brings my pitch above pretty much every other is very simple. It can make an extreme amount of money, be on multiple different platforms, make Konami infinite money, and has infinite replayability through the various routes you can take. It's great. Pick mine, please.
Thank you, KZ. Extreme money, infinite replayability.
Money.
Money. Oh, I forgot. One moment. Let me write that down. Money. Okay. Mr. Feel.
My game will get Konami good PR for like 2 weeks, and nothing in it will make the Chinese government blow up your offices in 6 months. At no point will the CEO, if you publish my game, look out the window and see a Chinese drone just coming.
Ah, that fucking droning our ass. We're going to move on to Bob.
My game's early release structure can release the game when it's only a force done, and then we can start making profit immediately and then continue to build it and have a community interaction with people and harbor goodwill. Also, yes, the Chinese government won't kill any of us.
Oh, that's good. That question's lingering over everyone now.
Yes. I just want to make that very clear. We're also going to work with some fans who translated the previous four Goemon games on the SNES, get them released with this game.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for all that info. Early release allows profit immediately. China also won't kill us, works with fans. Thank you so much. Dr. Agro, we come to you last.
Quarth Dimension Drop is a fucking pachinko game. I'm making a pachinko game. You're Konami. You don't have to be the kind of math genius I have working on this project to figure out this is a great fit. Hong Kong and Taiwan forever.
Okay, well, I have a lot to think about. Thank you all for your final statements. I'm going to go
ruminate over all of this information and come back to announce who is the winner of this episode of Armchair Devs. Returned, and as such, I have some feedback for each of our contestants before I announce who is the winner of this episode of Armchair Devs. We'll go ahead and start with KZ.
Hello, that's me.
KZ, I really appreciate that you're tackling this game because I think it's a very unique title. I appreciate the new angle of Star Fox 64-like progression, and I also like money. Infinite money, extreme money, all these types of monies.
Money.
Pretty interesting.
Money. Money inside money.
Mr. Feel.
Mm.
I don't want to be blown up by China.
It's true. That's dangerous.
That's pretty dangerous. Also, I think this is the sort of win that we're hoping to get with this sweepstakes we're throwing here, where we get some sort of nice, nostalgic, old Konami IP that people are either in love with or they respect because it's old, like an old person. It's just card. It's the default position to respect any old gaming IP. So I'm really interested in bringing back Twin B with this gun and ragdoll physics. So I think Vert's an excellent fit for this game. That could get us a lot of coverage. You're totally right. That these bullets you've given me are very much laser focused on getting some coverage for this indie game. That isn't an indie game. We just didn't give you money.
Correct.
Bob.
Yeah.
I appreciate the new vision for going on involving this grand journey to kill landlords. I really like the integration of Impact, one of the most important characters in Goemon. I also like releasing things prematurely and profiting immediately.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, that's really what we're here for. And given your scant budget, that is absolutely a thing you should do. Then if the game doesn't work out, we'll just take a page out of Capcom's book and blame the fans.
Yeah!
Always works.
Mm-hmm. Bulletproof. Dr. Agro.
Hello, handsome.
You know I can't quit you. Coming in here, sneaking your pachinko next to these other games. It's sick, man. I'm on the clock. What are you doing?
Come on, baby. There ain't nothing wrong with it. It just makes you feel good.
I don't feel comfortable getting this metaphorical handy J on the clock like this. Also, China may blow us off.
Like, metaphorically?
I don't know. I guess if we went with yours, we would find out because you yelled Hong Kong and Taiwan forever. Maybe stay off of social media. With all of that said, it is time to announce who the winner of this episode of Armchair Devs is. After much consideration, I have decided that the winner of Armchair Devs Konami Sweepstakes is Bob Video Games.
Yes, finally! Finally taking it back! Fuck landlords!
Bob, here's what's great about
Once the landlords came in, it was pretty much done.
This is a real winner because it's a popular enough IP that we shoved among all these losers that people will care about immensely in the West and other territories. It has a very new, relatable tone and plot about it. You've done a fantastic job of integrating something we could possibly make on an early access sort of schedule with this sort of budget. I think you've done a fantastic job here, and I swear I'm quitting Pachinko. I can't keep doing this to myself. I don't. It doesn't matter how good it feels anymore. I need to get better.
Yeah, it's unhealthy, man. Come on.
I know, I'm trying. I can't believe this is so much to deal with. I need to go into the back and cry.
One more video game company kowtowing to the Chinese government.
Well, I would like to thank all of our contestants and all of you for listening to Armchair Devs.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Armchair Devs. Podcasts like this and Big Think Dimension are only possible with viewer support. If you'd like to help us in the fight for good content, please show us your support over on patreon.com/gbpodcasts, where you can also listen to the extended pitches that couldn't make it into this episode.